Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show.
...7:04 Central Time. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dick Whitworth, Faith Radio Morning. So good to have you along. We're talking today, really, about Job 28. I was reading in my devotions, Logan, and I love how Job closed this particular passage, and he said to man, God said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. And again, as we mentioned in the first hour, I believe Job is the actual first book written, as it were, and that was included in the scriptures. And so much of God's revelation had not been revealed, and yet he had the forewith knowledge, or the revelation that the beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord, and to shun or run from evil is understanding.
I would say Job is one of the leading authorities on a healthy fear of God.
I believe that is probably true. By the way, if you're just joining us, you can hear Bill Arnold this afternoon, 3 to 5 Central Time, 4 to 6 Eastern Time, on our new afternoon show with Bill. Excited about what he's doing. I heard the inaugural broadcast yesterday. He did a great job. Had a lot of fun, some very interesting conversation, and of course, lots of scripture and discussion. It was very, very exciting. Well, today in history, this is hard to believe for me, 50 years ago in 1968, Senator Robert F. Kennedy was shot by an assassin while campaigning for the Democratic U.S. presidential nomination in California. Obviously, Logan, you don't remember that, but you probably have seen some news clips or those kinds of things. He died the next day. And in 1999, you may not know this name or have any association to him, Mel Torme. Have you ever heard the name?
I have not.
Okay, Mel Torme was a jazz singer. He died in Los Angeles at the age of 73. But you do know this. This is Mel Torme trivia for 100.
Oh, boy.
All right. He wrote the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
Oh.
Jack Frost.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. He was one of the premier writers of that particular song. And I heard him in an interview one time years and years and years ago. Annually, he got a check for $100,000 in royalties, ASCAP BMI kind of royalties, for that one song. So you only need, Logan, one good song.
That's why Michael Bublé comes out of a secret cave every year during Christmas to release a Christmas album and goes away the rest of the year.
That's pretty much how it works. Well, we're about 7 minutes past the hour. We're going to have more Faith Radio in just a moment. Faith Radio Mornings, I'm Dick Whitworth. Thank you for staying with us. Minutes past the hour. Happy Tuesday. I'm Dick Whitworth, Faith Radio Mornings underway. Scott Williams from Family Life Today is going to be joining us here in just a few moments. We're going to be talking about an article that he wrote for their newsletter, 10 Bible Verses to Help Family Communications. It's entitled Scriptures to Help Guide You Through Your Interpersonal Relationships. And Scott, welcome.
Hey, great to be here.
Good to have you here. Scott, tell me a little bit about yourself, your family. Who is Scott Williams?
Well, first of all, I am just a follower of Jesus Christ. And my wife and I, Ellie, have been married 33 years, and we have 7 kids.
Wow.
Their ages range from, I think, 32 down to 18. So we're empty nesters, pretty much. And I've been working with Family Life for about 13 years as a writer and editor.
Okay, excellent. Well, it's great to have you with us. I appreciate getting a chance to get better acquainted. I was struck by your article in the recent newsletter. Tell me about Scriptures to Help Guide You Through Interpersonal Relationships, what it is, and how it came about.
Well, basically, how it came about was it was one of those articles where the ones I really like are the ones that where God has been teaching me personally. So this was one of those times, I guess it was a few years ago, our kids were probably age 27 to 21, and we were going through one of those times where the perfect storm of, you know, ugly talk and selfishness and all of that stuff. It was getting pretty overwhelming in the home. And, I mean, think about it. With nine people in the family, if you do the math, you're talking about 36 interpersonal relationships. So as a dad, I felt like I needed to speak more effectively into the situation. But I was at my wit's end, and I get pretty overwhelmed a lot of times, and that was making the situation worse. But so, you know, James reminds us that if we lack wisdom, ask from God. He gives generously and without reproach to anyone who asks. So I decided to spend my morning quiet times in his word looking for verses that could help our family relationships get back on track into a more harmonious tone. So I started with the one another verses and pulling out my Bible and my concordance and some notebook paper, just started listing verses and studying the nuances of the words and just really diving deep into God's word, hoping to find some nuggets that I could take and would be able to communicate simply so that my kids could not just understand more clearly, but apply them as well. And as God so often does, I found that in trying to understand well enough to teach the verses, I realized that the verses were speaking really powerful to me and convicting me and my part in the chaos. So it's a lot harder to change someone else's behavior and attitudes than to change your own. So, hey, why not start there? So anyway, out of dozens of verses, I narrowed it down to 10 that seemed the most universal and just tried to put them in a format that was short and easy to read and easy to understand and easy to apply. So
how did you use them in your family? How did they practically play out?
Well, if I could just read the opening paragraph, sure. I think that sets the tone. I'll start with a couple of adages that speak volumes. Familiarity breeds contempt, and you always hurt the ones you love. It seems we reserve some of our unkindest words and do our most thoughtless deeds to those who mean the most to us. And because those close to us care more about what we say and think, those words and actions hurt even more deeply. So it's a double whammy. Because the stakes are so high in the family, we need to ensure that our communications not only stay away from the negative, but that they lead everyone else to the positive. So that's how I started it out. So more than anything else, these 10 verses are reminders for us to think about the surface reaction, think beyond the surface reactions, and look to the cause, to look behind someone's outburst and see their pain, or to look behind the irritation that you're feeling and try instead to empathize with one another. So that's what I was doing with that. And the verses, the way they're constructed, they show us, first, a lot of them show us first a negative characteristic and then give us positive alternatives. So that's an easy-to-use method of turning things around. And there are also other verses that show how Jesus didn't respond in kind, but always had a view toward always redeeming the other person to be what God intended them to be. But for me personally, it helped me focus on the important things. You know, even though I'm the head of a large family, as I mentioned, I get pretty easily overwhelmed by things. And my natural reaction when things start falling apart is to harp on the rules and how the kids need to get in line and do what they're supposed to do. When my natural personality is to be more emotional and compassionate. So one was eating up the other. And this study was a way for me to recenter myself on the important things.
All right. Well, Scott, when we come back,
for each of us.
Scott, when we come back, we want to talk about a couple of them, kind of give our listening friends an example of what we're talking about, because I think it's done well, and I'd love to you expand on that. So we're 14 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. My guest is Scott Williams from Family Life. Past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth. Happy Tuesday. Faith Radio Mornings. My guest today is Scott Williams. He is an editor with Family Life Today. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow. And you can actually find out more about Scott and some of his writings at familylife.com. This particular article is under the marriage section, and it's entitled 10 scriptures to help guide you through your interpersonal relationships, 10 Bible verses to help family communication. And Scott, thank you for joining us this morning. Why don't you take one of the topics, one of the scripture verses, kind of elaborate on it. For example, mining for good out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Talk about the actual devotional and how it works out.
Sure. That's one of my favorite verses, I guess, probably because it's an area that I have a difficulty with. But just quoting the verse, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the example I used there is the 49ers during the gold rush of the mid-19th century. You can imagine the prospectors scooping up pan after pan of rocks and sand and carefully washing away all those useless lumps in hopes of finding this one gold nugget. And so that's what we need to be with each other in the family. We need to be prospectors of the good in each other. And by nature, I'm analytical and critical, which, you know, has its pros and cons.
Sure.
But Paul's charge to me is to keep looking for that nugget of gold that I can find to complement my children and my wife.
And so did then you encourage your family? Again, you have seven kids. Did you encourage them to look for opportunities to find good in each other and their friendships and those kinds of things?
Yes. Matter of fact, sometimes where things got a little bit rough, Lord gave us a little exercise that we did where we would take turns tattling on each other. Saying something good that sitting around the dinner table, saying something good we found about another person. And that just kind of has a snowball effect in the same way that it has a snowball effect when one person says something negative and another person responds. So it's taking the negative and turning it into the positive.
By the way, I don't think you're alone when it comes to thinking positive thoughts. I think that's a struggle that many of us have. I do think we get lazy at times in our relationships. The good things we take for granted, but the irritants we tend to point out. And I can certainly see something like this being a great encouragement just to remind me, to encourage me to speak up and speak out those things for which I am grateful and those things I appreciate in you or my spouse or my kids.
Exactly. And one of the other verses that I use, I called it in the article, the checklist of love. And it's
yes.
1 Corinthians 13. It's a very familiar passage to everyone. But, you know, even though it makes everyone feel good, it's one of those passages that's well loved but little applied. And for me, I realized that's a great checklist for me on my attitudes. When I do something or say something, I can think, am I being patient? Am I being kind? Am I being arrogant? Am I keeping a record of wrongs? And on the positive side, am I bearing with, you know, my wife or my child? Am I believing? Am I hoping? Am I trusting the best in that person? And so it's a great checklist to just pull out, first to commit to memory so that you'll have it to, for the Holy Spirit to use when he wants to use it. And then just pull that out to keep an inventory on how you're doing yourself.
Oh, that's very good. I think, you know, again, a very familiar passage of Scripture used often during the month of June during weddings and pointed out as such. But as you say, one of the things I love about it, it's not about feelings. It's about real concrete actions that we can do and certainly point out when we see it being done in others. You do mention in that same little passage, people generally don't appreciate having faults pointed out when they're wrong, but because this passage is so well loved, it tends to disarm even the most stubborn combatant. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, I think that's just the nature of communication. When you're looking to the best for the other person, and you're thinking of things that will help them out, it gives you an opportunity to just go and maybe share the truth with the person, to let them know, you know, maybe when they said something unkind, to let them know that may have hurt your feelings, and it kind of disarms a person. And also one of the things that disarms a person is to, to turn the other cheek, as Jesus said. So when someone says something unkind, to say something kind back. And that's just that's so much in a lot of these verses is taking a negative principle and replacing it with a positive principle.
That's excellent. Scott Williams, my guest today. He is from Family Life Today. He is an editor of the newsletter and has written a new article entitled Scriptures to Help Guide You Through Your Interpersonal Relationships. You can find out more at their website, familylife.com. Scott, thanks for joining me. It's great to get acquainted with you. God bless you.
Well, thank you.
By the way, we want to just remind you that this month we're giving away the Christian Standard Study Bible for Women. Learn about how biblical womanhood through articles, read about each woman in the Bible with a comprehensive concordance. We're giving away one CSB Study Bible for Women each week. And all you need to do to enter to win is visit our website at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy to be with you. And by the way, don't forget that you can hear Bill Arnold this afternoon from 3 until 5 p.m. Central Time, 4 to 6 Eastern Time, as Bill has made the move to afternoons. And we're excited for him and certainly would appreciate your prayers as we're looking for a replacement in the morning show. In the meantime, I hope to be filling in quite a bit. Neil Stabman will be here as well. And we're just excited to continue what has begun as a part of the Faith Radio morning lineup. Coming up on 24 past the hour, we're going to break a little early for Break Point. And I think you'll find today's discussion very important and noteworthy. It is, again, 24 past the hour. This is Faith Radio Mornings. Twenty-nine past the hour, John Stone Street and Breakpoint. Great commentary each and every weekday about this same time. I'm Dick with Faith Radio Mornings. Logan, a Wisconsin man, was accused of putting foreign objects into food at a well-known sausage plant where he worked.
Define foreign objects.
Isn't that the point? I mean, isn't a hot dog, isn't that and a sausage? That's kind of the point, right?
It's kind of the culture of Wisconsin. Growing up there, some hot dogs, some burgers, that's kind of the main food group.
Well, but the good news is they say none of the tampered products left their facility. So we won't be seeing them in a grocery store near you.
Well, you would think the hot dogs that enter your grocery stores are kind of already tampered products.
Foreign objects, right? All right, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to take a break for news in just a moment. I'm Dick Whitworth. Hey, thank you also for your support of Faith Radio. We appreciate your prayers and your generous financial support. Together we are making a difference for Jesus Christ. God bless you. Stay with us. The news is next. Keep on 34 past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth. Faith Radio Mornings continuing. A special appearance by Adam Carrington, assistant professor at Hillsdale College. And Adam, welcome back. I know we talked yesterday, but it's always good to have you on the line. The Supreme Court decision on the Christian Baker case shocked all of us.
Yes, it did. And thanks for having me back to talk about it. I know that a lot of people were expecting a very monumental decision that made grand big statements about free speech and freedom of religion or the rights of same-sex couples, and we really didn't get much of any of that from the majority opinion. It ended up being a very, even though it was a 7-2 vote, a very narrow decision that I think in the end leaves a lot of the bigger questions on the table while deciding really just this case.
The 7-2 decision, though, it was, obviously it was overwhelming in the sense against the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. That was really the focus point, correct?
Yes, it was. And you're right, the focus, the way they were able to get a 7-2 supermajority was, here's essentially what they said. We're not going to decide whether Masterpiece actually had a legal or constitutional right to refuse to bake a wedding cake for a same-sex wedding. We're not going to decide that at all. What we're going to say is that based on comments made by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission that were derogatory, demeaning, and dismissive of religious views, we're going to say that that Masterpiece Cake and Jack Phillips, who's the owner of it, that he didn't get a fair hearing. He didn't get a fair shake. There was signs of discrimination and vitriol against him. And because of all that, we therefore say that the procedure wasn't fair. So what that leaves unsaid, again, is does the baker actually have a right to refuse to bake the cake or make the cake for the purposes of a wedding? That was left to the side because of how narrow the decision was.
Yeah, they punted.
Basically, and I think that's what I think. I've been writing an article on this that hopefully will come out, that the most interesting arguments were what are called the concurring opinions. Those are opinions written by members of the majority who wanted to say their own extra thing or had a different reasoning for why they concluded so. And I think if you read those from Justice Thomas and then Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kagan actually squaring off on what this all means, they're all jockeying for position for a case that actually asks the First Amendment free speech and religious liberty questions.
Okay, if you're florist Baronelle Stutzman, how does this make you feel? And can you take any hope into her conversation with the Supreme Court?
Some hope, because obviously they didn't lose, although I think you might want to be hoping, if I'm the florist, that Justice Kennedy announces his retirement at the end of the term, because I will say, going through some of his majority opinion, he's the one that I think was the real deciding factor in why the case was so narrowly decided. I think he gives off the impression that if there was no blatant derogatory statements and action by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, that he would likely, I think, have found for the same-sex couple and against the baker. Now, no one knows that for sure. There are people I've read who have disagreed with that. But certain things he said about the need to have public accommodation laws protect the dignity of same-sex couples leads me to think that might be, similar cases might not be decided the same way so long as you don't have such an open record of bashing Christians and their beliefs.
Okay. Adam, and thank you for your time. But again, by the way, we really appreciate you coming in at kind of last minute and to talk on this issue. From your perspective, what should we look out next for? What's coming down the pike?
At least this term, beyond these religious liberty questions, I think the ones to keep an eye on are the abortion case that we talked about yesterday briefly.
In California. Mm-hmm.
In California. And the other free speech case, Janus, that we talked about with unions. But in addition to that, I think one of the two other big ones I'd point to are, of course, Trump v. Hawaii, the Supreme Court case where the so-called travel ban will be up for a vote. And, you know, people are already reading Masterpiece, seeing if they can read the tea leaves. I would caution against that. But I think that's going to be a monumental decision that won't come out to the last day. And then one that's a little less known, there's a separation of powers case where the question of whether executive officials that are appointed by the president, whether the officials they appoint have to be nominated and approved by either the president or people that he appoints, or whether they can be appointed by bureaucrats. Now, that may sound like a snoozer at first, but with all the talk of a deep state or an administrative mm-hmm. state that runs itself beyond the accountability of the elected branches, this is a big question for how much the people we elect have control over the bureaucracy and how much the bureaucracy sort of runs on its own. So it may seem like a snoozer at first, but some pretty big questions about popular self-government, I think, are at stake in it.
All right. Adam, thank you so much for your time this morning. I know this is just kind of a quick in and out. We appreciate you, and we appreciate your insight on this Supreme Court decision. Adam Carrington, assistant professor at Hillsdale College. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
You as well. Thanks. Always great to be on.
All right. 40 minutes past the hour. We'll continue more with Faith Radio Mornings.
Ever slapped a punishment on your kid because you were mad? Ever reacted to the situation before thinking? If you're like me, you can answer yes. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Spur-of-the-moment discipline isn't the wisest parenting move. It may make us feel better when our 15-year-old really messed up, but it doesn't really build long-term positive lessons for kids. Popping off under pressure is generally counterproductive. Instead, set rules and consequences beforehand, making sure they're in line with what you believe. Then when things get heated and tense, you'll already have the details laid out. So next time, count to 10 and let your plan unfold.
Check out the articles, books, and parenting tips from Mark Gregston, available online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Forty-two minutes past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's Faith Radio Mornings on Faith Radio, and it's a joy today to introduce to you. Many of you might be familiar with Steve Schmidt of Love Packages, but for those of you who are not, Steve Schmidt, a lifelong resident of Illinois, living in Butler, Illinois, and has a ministry that, has impacted literally tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of believers around the world through used Christian literature. And Steve is actually on assignment today, but we have him on the line. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings, my friend.
Good morning, my friend.
Yeah, it's
long time. How are you?
Good. 1975. I was 21 years of age and had just become a follower of Jesus. And Steve Schmidt.
That's how long I've known you. 44 years it's going to be.
Yeah,
44 years, man.
And actually, it's this month. I got saved June of 1975. And Steve Schmidt followed me around and chased me around and made sure I was in God's Word and praying and attending Bible studies. I don't know, honestly, Steve, where I'd be today if it hadn't been for your persistence and desire to see me and others come to a disciple.
Sorry, man.
Well, dude, it's true, and I appreciate you. My friend Marty Nagel and I were born again, and we were working at my mom and dad's campground, and we were mowing lawns as part of the of our official assignment that summer. And Steve would come out with his Bible, and don't you guys get a break time? It's time to look into God's Word. And there you were. Why don't you take us through a thumbnail sketch of Love Packages, how it began, where it began, and kind of what's happening today? Because it's been almost 40 years, right?
44. I'm going to celebrate my 44th year in August.
Excellent.
So in the spring of 1975, I had a little stack of Decision magazines from Billy Graham and some daily devotionals and some old Bibles and some other things sitting in the corner of my dining room where I lived in Litchfield. You know where it was at. And every time I walked through there, God pointed his finger at me and it kept saying to me, Steve, you're wasting that. And, you know, I'm like everybody else. I argue with the Lord sometimes. And so I argued with the Lord for about 3 months and said, you know what I'm going to do, God, is I'm going to use that to prepare lessons. And he says, no, you're not. You're going to leave it sit there. You're going to spill a Coke on it one of these days. You're going to throw it away. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to waste it. But they're 4 years old. You know, I don't know anybody that wants them. They're old Bibles. Who am I going to give them to, you know? And so we knew some friends that had just graduated from a Bible college and went back home to their home countries. And so we wrote them a letter and said, can you use English literature? And if so, how much and how soon? And it seemed like the letters were only gone a couple of days. The letters were back and said, yes, we can use as much as you can get here as soon as you can get it here. Well, I didn't know everybody had a bunch of stuff. So I just started in the basement of my home, my wife and I. And that first year, collecting just from the church we went to and just a few other people, you know, we sent 60 little boxes from August to January, 60 little boxes to those five guys. But, and you helped get us started. You guys, and when you first was being discipled, you said, we're going to do a Bible drive. And so you went out and started collecting Bibles and bringing them to me. But as I would go to, you know, the Baptist chicken dinner or the Methodist pancake supper, and sit with people in the area that I knew. They would say, "What have you been doing, Steve?" And I'd say, "Well, I've been collecting old Bibles and Sunday school material and sending overseas to people who don't have any." And they go, "Wow, we've got a whole closet full of that stuff in our church. Can we bring ours over?" And you remember my house, you know, when we first started. My poor wife, we had stuff in the front porch, in the back porch, in the living room, in the dining room. We had stuff everywhere. And so the second year, we did 3.5 tons out of the basement.
Amazing.
And the next year, we did 7 tons, and then 11 tons. I grew the basement, went to the double car garage. And this year, our goal is to ship 2,000 tons of literature to the nations.
That's amazing. Steve, I want to talk more about the story. It's an amazing story of what God has done and is doing, and I know you're the best man to tell it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to continue our conversation with Steve Schmidt. He is founder and director of Love Packages, and you can find out more about his ministry at lovepackages.org, lovepackages.org. Steve Schmidt, my guest today on Faith Radio Mornings. Nine past the hour, Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy to have a longtime friend and a founder and director of a ministry known as Love Packages, who will send, and believe this or not, Steve, we did the math. Logan looked at me. He's my assistant producer and board op this morning, and he said, "I believe a ton is 2,000 pounds," and so we did the math.
Right.
That's 4 million pounds of Christian literature going overseas. That's amazing.
That's just this year.
That is true, my friend. So I guess the misnomer for many of us, or the misunderstanding, would be, you know, our Christian literature in English, you know, use it, lose it, get rid of it. But you're saying, obviously, that there's a tremendous need and opportunity for this great material, including the scriptures and some selected articles or magazines. I know you'll talk a little bit about that. But it is valuable overseas.
Oh, yeah, it's valuable. We have a really, well, we just don't have much of a clue, actually, in America, because we have such an abundance. We have so much. We take so much for granted. But there's pastors all over the world today that still don't have a copy of the Bible.
It's amazing.
You know, and so there's nations, there are whole nations without Sunday school literature. You know, there's no discipleship material. And so what we do, even though it sounds like a lot, 2,000 tons, you know, or whatever you did pounds-wise or whatever, it sounds like a lot, but it's still only a drop in the bucket. I just got a report from a fellow in Zimbabwe. We shipped two containers into him, and he went south of Harare. It's, you know, 50, 60 kilometers south of Harare, which is the capital city. To three different cities. He found 36 churches there. In those 36 churches, there was not one single believer that had a Bible.
Unbelievable.
And so he said, I wish you could have seen the joy, the singing, the jumping, the shouting, the screaming, when we were able to give them Bibles, you know. And they read and speak English, you know. So I think we could do something about that. He says, one lady fell to our knees and just clutched her Bible for an hour and just wept. You know, that was just last week, you know? And so,
so exciting. So Steve, tell us, tell our listeners, what kinds of things are most valuable that you're most interested in? Obviously the scriptures.
Can never ever get enough Bibles, and it doesn't matter. Aunt Matilda died 20 years ago, and you've got her Bible sitting on the shelf. You know, why don't you give it to us and let her receive some honor? You know, because of it. You know, rather than sitting and just collecting dust, you've got Bibles, Bible portions, New Testaments, daily devotionals. We'll take them. Just had a little 12-year-old boy write me a letter from South Africa. He says, "Oh, thank you, sir, for our daily bread that you sent us. It's so wonderful. I take it to school with me every day, and me and my mates, we read it, and then I take it home, and I read it to my parents because they can't read." he just thought it was such a jewel, you know. It's just a daily devotion, and we take him so for granted. Reference books, concordances, commentaries, Bible dictionaries, regular dictionaries, we take all those kind of things. Most Bible colleges around the world have little or no material like that. Your Sunday school quarterlies at the end of the quarter, instead of throwing them in the dumpster or putting them in the back closet and keeping them for 5 years and then throwing them away, send them to us, and we'll put them overseas, and somebody will be discipled and changed because of it.
That's amazing. Give me a handful of names of countries that you work regularly with.
Well, we've sent literature to 145 different nations over the years, but in the last few weeks, we sent to Thailand, to Nigeria, to Tanzania, to Kenya, to Zimbabwe, South Africa, Thailand. Did I say that yet?
Yes,
anyway, lots of India. We shipped 3 loads into India.
Because I remember India was a significant a location where you delivered many different containers filled with materials through the years, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. You'd think, well, India is only about 25% English, you know. Well, 25% of 1,300,000,000 is more than the population of the United States.
Yeah, that's good math.
Well, you know?
So how do people help you? Obviously, the wheels are turning. It's spring cleaning season for many, and they're thinking, okay, I am going to do this year. In addition to
They can go to the website. They can go to the website, lovepackages.org, and take a look. You know, and it's got the things we need in case I haven't listed them all. But we also take CDs and DVDs. So almost anything that we can use here that can be taught, you know, to teach something about the Word of God. If it was true in 1973, it's still true today, you know. Now, we don't take a lot of magazines that's got a bunch of advertising and stuff in it. But the other things, you know, all the Bibles and books and Christian books and paperbacks and all those kind of things, you know, I mean, the need is so great. So you can just pack it up in a box and send it to us. We suggest that you use United States mail. Fourth class is the cheapest way to send it. And so you just ship it to us. And the address is 220 Union Street, Butler, Illinois. But you can get that off the website, too. Zip code is 62015.
What's it cost?
We get about 9 tons of mail a week.
Do you really? My goodness. What's it cost to send a container overseas, approximately?
We just tell people on average it's about $4,000.
Okay. And so for you to do 2,000 tons this year,
That's 100 containers, so I need $400,000 if you want to know that.
That's what I'm getting to. Yeah, good for you. Because I do believe that there are people all across the Faith Radio Network that can hear that and they say, hey, I want to have a part of what you're doing and what God is doing through Love Packages. Steve, what a joy to reconnect. 44 years ago this month, we became friends, and here we are, and you're still going. You're actually in North Carolina today. Is that right? Are you picking up or dropping off?
I'm in Tennessee. I just picked up stuff from Lifeway Publishing. We pick up from 9 major publishing houses, all the Sunday school curriculum at the end of every quarter. So I have my 26-foot truck down here, and I'm picking up. Well, actually, I'm on my way back home now. I pulled over so I could do this interview.
Bless your heart. Steve Schmidt, director, founder of Love Packages. You can find out more information. You can give a gift to his ministry through lovepackages.org. My friend, have a great day. Safe travels. Good to chat with you.
Great testimonies. Thanks. I love you guys so much.
Thanks, Steve. Faith Radio Mornings, we're 57 past the hour. Hour number 2 coming to a close. Special thanks to Logan Rausch, assistant producer, also to Rachel Sutton and Paul Perot, part of the Faith Radio morning team. Really appreciate their help in pulling our guests and programs together each and every day. Great people. And thank you also not only for listening, but for praying and supporting this ministry. We never take you for granted and always grateful to have you tuning in. Faith Radio Mornings back tomorrow, and we've got a lot of special guests coming up, including Karen Swallow Pryor from Liberty University. We're going to be talking to her. She's written a new article that I think you'll find very encouraging. Thank you for joining us. Have a great Tuesday, and we'll be back tomorrow morning on Faith Radio Mornings on the Faith Radio Network. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show. Connecting.